You're on mute.
No, I'm not.
Oh my god. Then there's just, like, there's no background noise.
It's a Christmas miracle?
Yeah, I guess.
I can make background noise.
Don't do that, you get angry, everyone. Yeah. It's always Christmas in a Shane Black movie.
It is?
He does a lot of Christmas stuff. Iron Man 3 was around Christmas time for some inexplicable reason.
Yeah, that's a weird movie.
I thought that was attributed to the fact that Shane Black really likes Christmas.
I thought that was attributed to the fact that it didn't make any sense as a movie. But
why didn't it make sense? I thought it was good. I mean, it was an Iron Man movie, but it was enjoyable.
No, the first Iron Man movie is good. The second one is a mess. And the third one is better than the second one, but not very good if you actually put any critical thought into it. It bothers me.
But in the third one is when he really gets down to Iron Manning, and that's really what people come to the theaters to see.
Well, he's not really Iron Manning so much as he's orchestrating a giant computer assault on things.
Which is pretty rad.
Well, he's just like, hey, computer, do stuff. And then it's sort of like watching an NPC battle or something. Like, all of the video game characters are duking it out. It's a bunch of nameless people infected with lava syndrome that we've never heard of. And then it's a bunch of robot suits that we haven't really seen do anything before. And they just kind of bang into each other for, like, feels like 30 minutes.
I mean, but it's cool.
I don't know. There's a certain element of it that I don't really like, because it's just spectacle for the sake of being spectacle, and I'd rather... Well, no. I mean, and I know I'm a visual effects artist saying that, so it doesn't really make any sense, but I would rather have some more character behind it. Like, it, as it is right now, it's literally like I'm just watching someone bash a bunch of, like, video game characters in a fight, in a cutscene together. And I don't know any of the characters. They don't mean anything to me.
There's some clever stuff when he's jumping from suit to suit, but the larger problem with that scene is there are a lot of fuzzy rules about how strong the bad guys are versus the suits.
Yeah.
And that scene, before the suits show up, there's like one or two quick little lines that are like the worst thing in any movie ever, and it always makes me cringe when I see it. And I don't know if you remember, but like they see the president strung up by the wires, and they say like, oh man, Viking funerals. Like, yeah, death by oil. And there's like one other thing. They say the same thing like three times in a row. It's like, you really should have just cut those other two lines out in the edit, and it would have made more sense, because you don't really need to quite spell that out three times in a row for the audience. But whatever.
Yeah, you don't really need any of it, really.
I didn't make Iron Man 3, so.
No, me neither.
We don't get to complain about it.
Right. What's
some good bourbon.
Oh, bourbon? Okay, that's nice. I'm having another Cali Creamin'.
That was a vanilla? I can't remember.
Yes, it's a vanilla cream ale. Ale with natural flavor added.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. From Mother Earth Brewing Company in North San Diego.
San Diego? Oh, well.
Yeah, it's Vista Escondido or something. I don't know. Between the 5 and the 15 and 78.
Does it say all that on the label?
Yeah, it's got a map on the back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In case you want to show up at the brewery?
Yeah. Well, you can go down there for tastings or something, I assume.
I don't think they call them tastings at beer breweries.
Oh, yeah. You can show up down there and get wasted, I guess? I don't know. I don't really know the rules. But I know that supposedly you can go to like a Stone Brewing Company down there and stuff, but they only make one beer that I like, which is the Quadro Triticale one. That one. From the like Scolium Project or whatever they call it.
You're just naming bad guys from Star Trek now, aren't you?
No, Quadro Triticale is a wheat, Dan, from Star Trek that the Tribbles would eat.
Don't you know that wheat is bad for you?
Yeah, well, the Tribbles don't believe in a gluten-free diet. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, they should.
Mm. Well, that's probably why they're so round and furry.
Just like me.
Okay. So how were your hot wings?
Oh, God. Pardon me for pausing to drink a beverage, but I have been drinking beverages nonstop for the past, like, 3 hours.
They say you're supposed to drink milk.
Yeah, they say you're supposed to drink milk, and then the young waitress who brought me the wings and also brought me a Coke to go with them reminded me that Coke makes it worse, which it doesn't really, but yeah, the milk is fine. It's not so much that I couldn't handle it, because I could through it.
Couldn't handle the milk? Couldn't power through the milk?
No, the hot wings. I mean, my entire body was like sweating profusely, and I was kind of like I had to pop my ears. It was that hot, and my eyes watered a little bit. But I enjoy that level of heat. It's just normally around here, chain restaurants that sell hot wings don't have hot wings that are actually hot. So this is the first time I've been to this place. I went in unawares and picked the one at the top of the menu, and they weren't messing around.
So is this your usual attitude of just give me the best one and throw an extra thing on top of it because it won't be enough?
I did not throw an extra thing on top. Uh-huh. I even mentioned to my dad that you were going to give me crap about it because you always call me the guy who gets the hot thing with extra hot.
Well, I mean, you also get coffee with extra coffee.
I don't get coffee with extra coffee. I just get a bigger coffee.
I thought you got a coffee and then like asked them to put more coffee in it with another shot of coffee.
I tried to ask them for a double espresso, and they make them in doubles. So what I was actually asking for was a quadruple, and they said, why don't you just try it this way first? There's no point in rehashing that story. Mm-hmm. It's not the point.
Okay.
I was trying to get them to give me what I make in my AeroPress, which is essentially
you make hot wings
shots.
In your AeroPress?
Yeah, I make hot wings in my AeroPress, yeah. But, yeah, those hot wings were not screwing around one bit, and I took some preemptive Pepto the second I got home.
Mmm. So, that sounds delicious.
It was good. It was good. It was a learning experience, although I immediately washed my hands afterward because I'm smart and I eat spicy food, and I know that you got to get that off your hands right away. But I washed my hands, like, 4 times, and it's still, like, don't touch sensitive areas because they will burn.
Okay, well, you're gonna be in for a fun day tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean,
because you know what they say, fire in, fire out.
Yeah, it doesn't usually I think I've damaged that part of my body.
No.
You brought it up. No. You brought it up.
No, but it was supposed to be brought up and ended in that sentence. That was that was the extent. It was not a dare to like continue further on down that road. Ah, oh, man. Hello, listeners. I apologize for Dan's story.
I could get into more specifics, not about that. That would really make people turn their old AM radio off.
Ugh, God.
I won't. Mm-hmm. Big day though. Big freaking day today.
Yeah. What happened?
First of all, Bonanza came back.
Yes. By the way, since we're not releasing this till like next Wednesday, let's just specify. Hey, we kind of recorded this one a little early, guys.
Yeah, it's what day is it? The 30th?
Yeah,
what is it? Thursday today?
Yeah, this is going to be like almost a 1 week time capsule for everyone. It's a 6 day time capsule, and then you guys won't listen to it for like 3 more days. So I guess it's like a 9 day time capsule. So yeah,
did I tell you in my elementary school we put a time capsule in the ground that is supposed to be opened I think in about 10 years from now?
That sounds really exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what fourth grade me decided to write to my 40-year-old self.
I hope it's hypercolor t-shirts.
No. It was a rather small time capsule.
Mm-hmm.
But I wrote something to myself. I think we were all required to.
How disappointed are you going to be when you open it and your letter is about how great you're going to be when you're an adult and it's just going to make you feel bad about yourself?
I don't think in fourth grade I had yet had any ambitions, so it's probably pretty benign whatever I wrote in there. Although in fourth grade, I probably was assuming I would live further than 2 miles away from my elementary school.
Oh,
so hopefully I can get out of here in the next 10 years and fulfill at least that part of it.
Well, you got to stay there for the time being because then it just makes it really easy to pop on over there when they open the time capsule.
Right, just pop on by, pick up my letter. From my, God, how old would I be? 10 years old in fourth grade or something like that?
Well, you said it was a 20-year time capsule, right?
No, it was fourth grade, and I will be 40 when they open it.
Oh,
so I think okay. I don't know. Could be like 45. Who knows? I don't really make a habit of swinging by the old elementary school to read the plaque to say what year it's going to be opened, because that might be a little off-putting to the folks.
Yeah, I think you get arrested for that.
Yeah, just pop on by to the local elementary school to read the plaque in the ground.
Mm.
I assume they'll send out a newsletter or like a mass text or something when it's mm-hmm. time to open the time capsule.
Mm-hmm. Or it'll just be buried in your local news on page 27 in a tiny one block of paragraph text.
I'm pretty sure the local Ahwatukee Foothills newspaper is not 27 pages long, usually.
Okay. Well, do you read it?
I mean, I usually look at whatever half of an article I can see when it's still wrapped up on my driveway, and then I throw it away.
Yeah, so it might as well be on page 27, because...
for all I care, they could have already opened the time capsule mm-hmm. and just set my letter on fire.
Mm-hmm. Well, today was the last day on your waiting period to pick it up, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know how they do that. The post office is trying to cut down on costs, so they just send it right back.
Okay.
They put it in a time barrier and send it back to 1994 or whenever that was.
Remember doing the time barrier.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a jump to the left.
So yeah, it's Thursday, and mm-hmm. we got the announcement that finally.
Sprout.
Well, yeah, that. I mean, are we done talking about Bonanza?
Yes.
We'll get to Sprout or
no, I'm just kidding. Declan. Yes. Finally, Bonanza. Wait. Can you do something really super amazing sounding in the edit for that? So it sounds like
Bonanza.
And like important, and not just like I just said
Bonanza.
Like it was a menu item or something.
You want me to cut in when Mike kept going Bonanza?
Yeah, that would be suitable. Mike, hello. We are officially, unofficially licensing. Blah 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 blah. It's free. We're putting it in. Just consider it advertising. Yay.
It's going to be like the unnecessary censorship. We're going to bleep every instance of where you and I say the word
Bonanza.
But instead of a bleep, we'll use Mike's
Bonanza. Okay. So can you
bleep? That's like 15 already.
Okay. But can you bleep every time I say so that way I can say like and then you can bleep every single time of that?
Just because we're recording this episode like 4 days early doesn't mean we need to give you a ton of extra work in the edit to do.
Dan, nobody appreciates the editing work that you do.
No,
hello, listeners. Breaking the fourth wall. Dan does all of the editing work except for the Galaxy Quest episode, and so everything is his fault and also his amazing work. So send him a thank you tweet.
No, don't do that.
No, send him a thank you tweet and say, thank you, Dan. You are really good at things, except for that one time, and then just detail something you don't like.
What was that thing we were just reading about how podcasting has a better bang for its buck in terms of the cost to produce an episode versus the cost for advertising, and you know, the editing is pretty minimal in most cases, and I kind of wanted to like say, hey, we put in far more editing than we probably should, and personally I still believe in editing podcasts rather than just firing off whatever comes out of the recording, but you know, apparently most people don't.
Well, I think it was CPMs, and as I said to you, if my math is correct, we need like 5 or 6 more CPMs, and then we'll be set. This will just take care of itself.
That's CPM is cats per
mango.
Meter squared. Mango.
Yes, cats per mango. It's
I don't
a little
think cats
known
like
fact.
To share mangoes.
Yeah, they don't like to share mangoes. So what you wind up with is basically one cat per mango, unless you get some really good cats. And so it's all about herding the cats to the best mango ratio you can get for the CPM.
I got nothing on that.
I don't have anything on that either. I don't know where I went with that one. let's pull on back from whatever that was.
Monthly show. This new
Bonanza. Yes, monthly
Bonanza. It's gonna be like You Look Nice Today, where every month you're clamoring for it.
Well, I mean, I never listened to You Look Nice Today, so well,
that's because you're a terrible person. You're still a terrible person because you can go listen to it all now.
Yeah, but I'm catching up in the Flophouse now.
Oh God, You Look Nice Today is way better than the Flophouse.
I like the Flophouse. I didn't think I was going to like the Flophouse because I started listening at the beginning as the Syracuse recommended to do. And I gotta say, it's very difficult to get in at the beginning because the audio production quality is so subpar that it makes us look like geniuses. Because it's sort of like they put a phone somewhere in the neighborhood of the next three apartments over from where they're recording, and that phone is the sole source of audio, because that it is just like a giant echoey noisy mess, and it is very difficult to get through. But Merlin gave me a specific recommendation for something to convince me to listen to it, and it was absolutely amazing, and I was in stitches and I almost died laughing at work on a Saturday. It was so good.
Yeah, I listened to that one. It was pretty good. I didn't clearly have the same experience you did, but I enjoyed the
Stallone syndrome, the soft heart.
Right. The bit of riffing that was done by the one guy who doesn't sound like the other two guys.
Elliot. Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that bothered me about it in general, which I think we kind of struggle with on this show a little bit, is that at the end of the day,
we're not funny.
They're talking about they're talking about a terrible movie still. So I mean, as much fun as you can have with it, it's still kind of I don't know, not wasteful, because it's still a fun experience to listen to it. But they're still talking about a terrible movie at the end of the day.
But it's fun because you don't have to watch the movie they're complaining about. Whereas with us, if we talk about something we recommend people watch, then they feel the pressure to go watch it. And
yeah, but I like movies. So, I mean, I've seen, let me clarify, I've seen probably the first 10 or 15 minutes of Bullet to the Head, and if we were to record an episode about Bullet to the Head, it would be 4 hours long, because we would just tear every single piece of it to shreds, because it is so awful, and so is Bullet Bourbon, but that's not really the point.
Yes, Bullet Bourbon is not very good.
I have like half a bottle here. I've had it since Cinegear last year. Don't ask me why. I know exactly when I bought it. There's a lovely what do you call those, like, convenience stores that aren't attached to a gas station down on Melrose? Are they just convenience stores, or are they, because they look just like a gas station, but they don't have gas pumps?
Was it like a bodega, or was it just like a convenience store, or was it just a liquor store, or what was it? Usually it just has like a big it usually just has a big neon sign on the outside that says liquor, and it looks like it's utter garbage, and there's a big plastic shield that protects the cashier.
You know, there was no plastic shield protecting the cashier, but it may have had a liquor store sign, but it was just it looks like a gas station without gas pumps down there on the Melrose near Paramount.
And, the Melrose?
Down on the Melrose.
Mm-hmm.
In the Hollywoods.
Mm-hmm. Darn tootin'.
No, that was a different trip when you tried to tell me that Pizzeria Mozza was not in Hollywood.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Yeah. So I was right for once about a place where you live.
Well, yay.
But we should tell people to go to whatever that city you thought it was in, because I don't want more people going to that place because I like it.
Did I say it was in Hancock Park?
Something. I thought it was Highland Park.
No, I don't think that's a park. Anyway, so...
Highland Park is a scotch.
I
have some of that, too.
Yeah, okay.
Not the biggest fan of Highland Park.
Mm.
It's one of the
vanilla cream in their scotch.
They could probably benefit from it. It's one of the woodier of the scotches.
I don't really like a woody as a description of a beverage.
I'm sure scotch connoisseurs use a different term, but that's peaty?
I always hear smoky and peaty.
Oaky, because I know that's just people from Oklahoma.
Grapes of Wrath.
You can't just say Grapes of Wrath like you made some intelligent reference to it just by putting the name in there.
Well, it did, because you said people from Oklahoma, and they used to call them Okies because they would come out from the Dust Bowl. And
at least like make a Tom Joe joke or something, so people have to like make one step in their brain before they realize how smart your joke was.
Well, they're already going to have to make a big step, because I doubt anyone even knows the Grapes of Wrath, because I don't even think that's required a reading anymore.
Well, I mean,
system is letting all of our children down.
People probably know that Ghost of Tom Joad song from Rage Against the Machine. That could be their way into that.
Dan, we're not really trying to make this a maze. where people can't get into the center of the maze.
No, see, if you trust the audience and you mm-hmm. make them work a little bit, they appreciate the outcome. That's how smart writing works, I think.
Okay. Well, audience, one of these hosts gives you the cheese and the other host gives you the electric shock. So
I'm not giving people
Bonanza!
It's going to be a tasty piece of cheese when that finally comes out. I'm mm-hmm. excited.
I thought it was bunnies. Anyway, so I
re-listened to
Bonanza!
Part one and hour three of
Bonanza!
Today, just in tribute.
Mm-hmm.
It's still great stuff.
Yes. Well, that's because it's
Bonanza!
I highly admire Misters Matt and Mike, which is actually inaccurate because I should say Misters Alexander and Hurley, but Matt and Mike sounds better. So, there you go. Them. Get that monogrammed on something.
M&M on a piece of chocolate, maybe?
Yeah, that would be good. Make sure it has a candy coating so it doesn't melt in your hand.
Well, yeah, at least in the hand, not not in your mouth.
Yeah.
Wait, not the other way.
You want to put... okay. So, the other news today... is Sprout was finally born. So he's going to be about a week old when this episode comes out. So in our time capsule, I just want to say congratulations, Sprout, on being the sproutiest. I don't know anything about you. His name's Declan, and DJ seems appropriate. So little DJ Liss.
Declan James, wasn't it?
Yeah, DJ Liss, busting out the turntables with the vinyl. And if anyone hasn't listened to our episode with Casey Liss on Collateral, which is a favorite movie of his, go ahead and listen to it, because he's a nice guy, and he's good to have on, and I hope he'll come back on, and he's got a baby. And congratulations to him, because he kind of wanted to have that baby thing. I don't want one of those. That sounds really hard. Sounds like a lot of work, don't you think, Dan?
No, I want one. I mean, not his, but I want one.
Okay, well, you can't have his. That's not how this works.
That's what I said. I don't want his.
Okay. But are you just saying you don't want his, like, when there's just, like, the last piece of cheese on the cheese board, and you're just like, oh, no, I don't want it, you have it. And the other person says, oh, I don't want it, you have it. And one of them really, you know, they both want it, but they don't want to tell the other person they want it? Is that what it is?
The way it goes is you have to decline the baby three times, and then walk backwards around the table, and then you're officially married.
And then we King Solomon it.
That's where you touch things and they turn to silver, right?
Mm-hmm. Prams.
Prams.
Zap the pram. So, congratulations.
You think
to
he's going
to
grow up and everyone's going to keep calling him a sprout and he's going to wonder where the hell that name came from?
No, I don't think that's going to happen. Because...
You called him Sprout like five times before you said his actual name.
But that's just because Casey's been saying it for a long time. But he's not going to, like, go back into the time capsule of our episodes about him and be like, wow, this joke
is weird.
No, not
us. I'm talking about, like, people. Mm-hmm. Do you think people are going to stop calling him Sprout? I mean, because he's had a pretty long-running, pre-established nickname before he even had a real name.
Yeah, but he didn't know about any of that yet. He wasn't out in the world.
I'm just saying, I think there's a chance that people are going to continue to call him Sprout.
Okay, maybe. I'm going to call him DJ. We'll see where it goes. DJ Liss.
Did you have any nicknames before you were born that carried over into your childhood?
None that I'm aware of. You?
No.
Okay, well then, good argument, Dan.
I was just asking.
Uh-huh.
You don't know till you ask.
Okay. Well, no, knowing is half the battle.
you keep saying that, and I'm still not going to watch G.I. Joe.
Mm-hmm. Pork chop sandwiches. But
oh my God. Harken back to the beginning of the internet a little bit more, will you?
Yeah. Remember E-Bombs World?
Yeah, I think it's still up, isn't it?
Might be. I don't know. It was a terrible website. But
back in the days of peanut butter jelly time and what was the
with the baseball bat.
What was the one about something about mushrooms and snakes and something? I don't remember.
I don't remember either. I don't think I like that one. Was that the one where it was just like mushrooms, badgers, something? I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Badgers. That's what it was.
Yeah. I don't give a crap about that one. That one didn't do anything for me.
Oh my God. Do you remember the Super Mario twins?
Blanking.
Oh, it's the two guys with the nondescript accents talking about the Mario twins.
Blanking.
Oh man.
Nope. Still don't remember it. But I remember all of the dubbed G.I. Joe's ones. So
we have to take a time out, and I'm sending you this. You can watch about 2 seconds of it, and you'll realize whether you remember it or not. They do the entire soundtrack like that.
That was the most brain dead thing I think I've seen all week.
Do you not remember that though?
No, I don't remember that.
That was from the same era.
Okay, well,
we'll splice in a small clip of that.
Okay. Sorry, listeners. One of us has taste, and the other one does not.
Man drinking a vanilla lager or whatever ale.
Vanilla cream. The cream's important, Dan. Don't look down on the cream.
Isn't there a
mouthfeel?
Isn't there a metaphor about how cream soda is delicious, but if you have too much of it, it's horrible?
Probably.
Do you enjoy cream soda?
Not too much of it.
No. IBC, they make good root beer and cream soda. It's also an animation convention in Amsterdam.
That's a fun fact. Thanks, Dan. Thanks for that educational fact.
Yep. How's your IBC?
Edutainment podcast. That's what we're on. That's what we're doing.
You know, this Nestle Pure Life thing is kind of bullshit because I have two of them in front of me because one is almost empty, and they both have the same tip: keep a bottle of water on your child's bedside table. Like, can we not get more than one tip here? Does Snapple have the lockdown and the trademark on having multiple tips on your different bottles?
I know you want more tips, Dan. I know you want them. I mean,
this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for Nestle to provide useful information to people.
Oh God, Dan.
Very, very disappointing.
Dan, it's a bottle for water, and it says stuff on it. You could just buy a water purification system, and then just print out a page from Wikipedia if you wanted.
I have one of those too. That's what I use for the coffee. Mm-hmm. You know, I just noticed the word tip is inside of a light bulb. I guess because it's supposed to be an idea, but it's an old light bulb. It's not even one of them fancy new CFLs.
Well, same with the tip app on iOS 8.
Oh, that's right. It is a light bulb, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Incandescent light bulb. Because that's what ideas are, Dan.
They're incandescent light bulbs.
I know. Also, I hate that app. It was a dumb
idea.
Pretty
sure I hit it immediately.
Mm-hmm. I thought I did, and then it popped up with something, and it's like, hey, did you know you could drag down on this and get spotlight? And I was just like, I'm going to set you on fire. But
hey, did you know I accidentally invoke spotlight like 10 times a day?
Did you know I accidentally invoke that thing where it drops down half the screen 10 times a day?
Why are you just resting your finger on the home button?
Why can't I put my finger on the home button?
Because it invokes the reachability function.
But that's where I want to put my finger.
Well, there are a lot of other places you can put your finger.
But that's the place I want to put it. hot tip.
I did have some follow-up in my four lines of this text document that I wanted to address. I felt necessary to bring up the fact that
apologize.
I watched a couple episodes of Walking Dead because it came back recently, and I was in the room when it came on. And I had previously stated that I am not a fan of Walking Dead. I'm not interested in it. And I found myself actually kind of enjoying watching. I think I watched the first like four episodes. But
three or four episodes of which season?
The current one that's on TV right now.
Okay, so you just jumped in the middle of the current running season for three or four episodes, maybe.
No, it was the premiere, so I jumped in at the beginning of the current season that came out. It doesn't make a difference because the show is not really about zombies. It's about survival, like we talked about with World War Z. All of the zombie movies are really about just survival, and
the great zombie movies.
All of the great zombie movies. 90% of the three episodes I saw were all about the survival politics between different groups of people and what they'll do to survive, and none of it had anything to do with zombies, which is probably why it was interesting, because zombies aren't interesting. But I did enjoy the couple episodes I saw. I mean, it doesn't make me like the show anymore because, again, I don't care about zombies because they're not really important. And it's just kind of an unnecessary backdrop to the whole thing. But there was some horrifying things that happened in the first three episodes that were at least interesting to see how they played out.
Good follow-up, Dan.
Thank you. Have you had a chance to revisit your opinions on zombie movies or TV shows?
No.
No, you don't care.
Don't really give a shit. Sorry, don't really give a
shit. I'm gonna have to bleep both of those, so it doesn't really help.
Well, pretend I said the first time I said shit. There you go.
It's just gonna be bleeps for the audience. Nobody cares. Nobody cares what you actually said. It's just gonna be bleeps.
It'll be funny. I'm 97% sure. That's good.
We're very big on statistics tonight.
Mm-hmm. We're really good on maths and stuff. But the other thing I was gonna say was the other news item that we had, the exciting news item, was this morning. Mr. Tim Cook of Apple was all like, "Hey everyone, I'm officially gay," and so that was nice. Good job with him. Because it's always important, I think, when media figures and stuff, and he's basically a media figure, say, you know, stuff and they get to be positive role models. And so good for Timbo there. Punch on the shoulder.
Yeah, it was a great article. I was kind of confused as to why it was on, was it Bloomberg or whatever it was? Business Week, something?
Yeah, Bloomberg Business Week. I think they do that because they can give the message directly to a media outlet, and then all the other media outlets have to report on that media outlet, rather than if they just put out a press release, then every media outlet feels like they get to write their own spin piece on the news press release that came out from Apple. That's just a guess, though.
I guess, but there have been a couple instances where they put stuff up on Apple.com, which I thought this could have easily been on Apple.com as well, but... whatever. I mean, it doesn't really matter the venue. The point is the article was great. And mm-hmm. I really liked yours too, because it added some additional context around what what his article actually meant and will mean going forward.
Yeah, good for him. Punch on the arm.
Punch on the arm? Is that the appropriate response?
I don't know. I don't punch anybody on the arm. but for good old Timbo Cook, I'd do it. There we go.
We may need to talk to his press agent to see how he responds to Timbo.
Okay.
I'm not sure he would appreciate you calling him Timbo.
That's fine. I don't think he'd appreciate the show. Nobody tell him this is on iTunes, by the way.
We're going to get kicked out of iTunes so bad.
All right. And so then that wrapped up all the good news, I think. We got... a baby Timbo and
Bonanza
and hot exclamation wings. Mark. Well, I don't really think that's good news yet.
Anytime I find a place that has spicy food that is too spicy for me, that is noteworthy news, my friend.
I can hear your fedora over the microphone.
I can't buy hats. My head's too big.
Okay, I can hear your tactical vest over the microphone.
I don't have that one anymore either.
I can hear your
my Panasonic tactical vest. Yeah, you made fun of that, didn't you?
What's that knife? The utility knife thing that everybody used to Craftsman. I can hear Craftsman over the microphone.
Craftsman makes screwdrivers. What are you talking about?
No, what's it called? It's like a Swiss Army knife, but it's like more American-y. I don't know what they call that one.
I don't know. I used
to utility knife set thing.
I used to collect pocket knives. I have probably like 12 of them or something. I don't know, because they come in surprisingly handy on film sets. But
for pocket knifing,
for cutting gaff tape, cutting rope, cutting various boxes, things mm-hmm. like that. But I don't really carry a knife anymore.
Does Shiv the best boy?
No, we can never afford a best boy.
You had a worst boy?
No, it was
you couldn't even afford a worst boy. What kind of production is this?
it was always me and the DP doing all of the work. The hell are we talking about?
The best Craftsman. It was the best of boys, the worst of boys. Tale of small productions.
a tale of I was gonna say a tale of two boys, but that's probably something else.
No. No, Dan. Gross. This is why you're not allowed near the school to pick up your time capsule.
I'm already in the 2 mile radius. I live here.
Well, they don't know that. I'm going to tell them. I'm going to warn the school.
You go right on ahead. The school is named Kyrene de la Sierra.
Kyrene de la Sierra School in Achawacha, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's onomatopoeia.
Oh, God. Dan, you live in a weird place.
I was going to say, I have precisely one hat that fits me, and it is a red camera hat that I won in a terrible contest from the lovely folks at FX Guide a long time ago.
A red camera hat? Is that because it's 4K?
It's the old school red camera in that when it used to use CF cards to shoot, and it has a little sewn on slot on the side of the hat where you can put your CF card. I'm not even kidding.
Wow. For all your these days, CF needs.
Yeah, these days most people just ask me if it's a condom holder, which doesn't make any sense. Are you going to be all right there?
I'm sorry. I was just thinking about your special hat.
Yep, it's got a red camera logo on the front, and a little pouch on the side.
Oh, good, Dan. That's good. That's real good. That's real nice.
I won it in a contest. The Red Center podcast was asking, how do you export a red clip?
With protection?
So that the gamma complies with the regular Cineon curve that you're used to in DPX.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to use that fun PD log 985, I believe, was the old way to do it. And then you have to drop the exposure by one stop, which was the answer I gave via email to win me the hat with the pouch.
Ah.
Good old PD log 985.
Uh-huh.
Way better than PD log 685.
Oh, God.
Is this thing on? Hello? Are you getting me there?
Yeah, I yeah.
Do you have any items of clothing that have pouches?
Of course I do. I'm wearing cargo shorts right now.
Oh, my God. What is it with
big,
you in cargo shorts?
Billowy cargo shorts.
Is this just a holdover from your days in Florida?
Yeah. I mean, most of them are from Florida itself, yes.
You know you're allowed to buy new clothes every now and then, right?
I do, but sometimes I got pockets for, stuff.
For your cargo?
Yeah. My cargo cult. Cargo shorts cargo cult.
Your 6.5-inch Android phone?
Yeah, well, I mean, my iPhone 6 might as well be. It's a big phone. I don't even have the Plus. I don't have the mic-sized phone.
Mic-sized phone?
Mm-hmm.
Do we know how tall he is?
I don't think so. But I just know that he bought that phone, the 6 Plus, so I mean the size of the phone that he has, not him as a person.
Did you listen to this week's Connected? Or I guess when this releases, last week's Connected?
Maybe. Oh, by the way, that reminds me. This is episode 21.
Yeah.
So we are going to be 9 better than them next week, because they'll be 13.
Yeah, isn't that weird that our show is older than one of theirs? Not really, but it's kind of odd.
Yeah, it's not really that weird, but good for us. We're better. Yay!
Our podcast is old enough to drink.
I don't know, I'm wearing a prompt shirt right now, so...
Oh, God, I'm wearing a Daring Fireball shirt.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's nice. Yeah. I only have the one, but it's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine, I guess. It's gray. I mean, most of my clothes are gray.
Are they 50% gray? Can you stand in for a color swatch on the side of a set when they're shooting to meter for color?
Yeah, I mean, but that's just, you know, my hair, not the shirt.
Mm. Gray hair?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a hue of brown that kind of it has the same effect as a 50% gray, because it's got a different sort of sheen.
Mm. Sheen. Yes. I see.
Or Estevez, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
You know, we started this episode with like an ambition to actually talk about a thing.
Well, yes. Let's just switch those gears to that thing. So ostensibly, we decided to give everybody a break, and we weren't going to do another 2-hour extravaganza. Although at this rate, this is like 40 something minutes into it, it might wind up being that anyway, and we're only talking about a trailer. So good luck, everyone. I hope you really love us as people. Because we're going to talk about the Avengers 2 Age of Ultron trailer.
I'm not even sure we love us as people enough to tolerate this thing.
Well, that's you just got to love that you don't have strings, Dan. There are no strings on you.
Yeah, I mean...
there are no strings on me, and there are no strings on you. There's no strings on any of us. Are there strings on our listeners? I don't think so.
Well, technically, clothing is made out of very tiny strings.
Oh, crap. We're covered in strings, Dan. That's why Ultron's going to beat us. We're wearing clothes.
He doesn't wear clothes. His clothes are a metal exoskeleton.
He does have articulated eyebrows, though, which is so strange to me. Because it was
very, very odd, yes.
Yeah, I was thinking, so you're a robot, and you're self-designing yourself. And
hello, Mr. Ultron. How are you today? I'm given to understand that you're a robot. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
What's all this with your eyebrows, then?
I wonder if he does one of those, like, Spock things, where it's like one eyebrow shoots way up, and he's like, interesting, you know?
Yeah,
probably not.
No, I mean, he has a couple of different forms in this trailer. It appears that he starts off as a little bit more of a cookie cutter robot, and then it looks like he takes a bath in some lava or something and comes out this very shiny, like 6.5 feet tall robot thing.
Yeah, but then there's eyebrows. Also the other Ultron duplicate robots or whatever, the drone things, I don't know, which don't look the same. They look more like the, I guess, classic version of what Ultron was supposed to look like.
Ultron Classic with real sugar?
The Ultron Color Classic. Not as well loved as the original Ultron Classic. That was a Mac joke.
I thought it was a Game Boy joke.
No. The Ultron 3DS. Anyway, so the Ultrons, plural. Let's start at the beginning of the trailer. Where they're having their De Serono on the Rocks commercial.
Did you watch the extended trailer or the first trailer?
I don't know which one was which. The one where they're having drinks and they're like, oh, I can pull the hammer.
That's the new one.
Pull your hammer, wink, wink. Yes.
So according to IMDb, the plot of this movie is basically like after the first Avengers, they're all like tired. They need a nap. So they decide to like resurrect this horde of trainable robots to protect the world so they can go like hang out and relax for a while. So this trailer opens on them, you know, having a party and drinking and just chilling. Although I figured they would be tired of each other and just like want to go their separate ways for a while, but apparently not. And I thought it was a little lame that Thor didn't invite his girlfriend to the party, but whatever. So they're just sitting around and seeing what's the movie where the kid pulls the sword of the stone.
That was the sword in the stone.
Right.
Yes.
So that's Arthur. How it starts. And Arthur then was that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Pendragon.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a different podcast.
Yes, the Dragon Addict.
So then through the door comes a beat-up-looking robot, and then he smashes another beat-up-looking robot. And if we're making assumptions based on just the trailer, it looks like Mr. Ultron has become sentient and realized that he's doing the job that they were supposed to do, and he's not super happy about it. And according to IMDb, basically, the robot, as all robots apparently end up doing, the robot determines that humans are the real enemy and decides to turn against them.
Well, obviously, this is the first time this has ever happened in cinema, so it's such a total shock to me that the robot is going to misbehave.
Right, right. Yeah, he becomes sentient and then does something that was against his initial programming, but he finds a way to logic his way out of it.
Yeah, it would be nice if he said, there are no daisies on me. Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer. Anyway.
That was the one with Gatsby, right?
What?
Hello, old sport?
No, Dan, you're supposed to know Kubrick movies. God, what kind of auteur director wannabe are you?
No,
you're not a Kubrick fan?
I like Kubrick.
Another Kubrick in the wall?
His movies are of a time that don't super thrill me that much these days.
Because they're long and boring?
No, it's just the... I don't know, it's more of a 70s thing than a Kubrick thing specifically, but the use of silence and just quiet and like nothingness to balance out the rest of the action
Yeah, I noticed that's a common critique of yours. You don't like movies where they don't have like an action film score running through the entire production of the movie.
That's not true at all. It's just the way quiet scenes were handled in the 70s is a thing that just doesn't excite me all that much. But
they're too quiet.
It's a tension building thing that doesn't happen so often these days. I'm not saying modern cinema is better than 70s cinema, hands down. There's just a lot of air in the 70s.
Mm. There's a lot of hair too. But you're in luck, Dan, because 2001: A Space Odyssey was actually in the 60s. So
oh, even better.
You dodged that bullet. You go ahead, watch that one again.
If you dodge a bullet in space, does it make sound?
No. Well, oh, fun fact. Did you know that all of the animators from the Beatles' Yellow Submarine movie had just gotten off of the making all of the graphics for the HAL screen layouts and everything in 2001: A Space Odyssey, because those weren't computer drawn and manufactured? Those were all just like drafted by hand.
You mean all of those like 6-digit codes and like goofy graphs that didn't actually mean anything?
Yeah, all the Euro style stuff and like the little charts and layouts and all that stuff, and like flashing from slide to slide.
I did not know that. Also, my last Windows PC many years ago, since they had that thing where you could have like animated desktops, I had a desktop that looked like HAL and like the little like glowy red light and flashed some of the screens around it.
I had that on my Mac when they were doing, remember the 2001 Mac commercial where they had HAL on, but it was really Corey Burton doing the voice of HAL, and he was Brainiac on the animated Superman series in the 90s.
No, I don't remember either of those things.
Anyway, so that's interesting because that has a lot in common with Ultron, because apparently...
something back to the point we were talking about.
Yeah, something robots taking over the world.
So, Iron Man goes all Russian nesting doll and gets inside of a bigger Iron Man.
Well, that's because it's a Hulkbuster.
Yeah. Iron Man versus the Hulk.
Yeah, but the suit's actually called the Hulkbuster.
Yeah, I know.
It busts Hulks, so.
And my assumption based on the trailer, since there's a couple shots that show a very like confused and sad and dejected Mark Ruffalo, my assumption is that he loses a little bit of control of himself and goes all Hulk on accident, and Iron Man kind of has to stop him and set him straight. It's not really like Hulk decides to side with Ultron. It's just something happens and he loses control. Is that kind of what you took away from it?
Yeah, that was my takeaway as well. Because that happens a lot in the comics and stuff. Because every now and then they're like, let's just have our heroes fight each other. So,
which is unfortunate because that's probably going to lead to a relatively anticlimactic scene in the movie, isn't it?
Who knows? Might be at the beginning or the end or something. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
I mean, but whatever happens, he's going to knock Hulk out, and then he's going to like chill out and then realize, oh god, sorry, I didn't mean to do that, and then that's the end of it.
No, I don't know. Can't infer from the trailer. What I'm more interested in the trailer is Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
You're interested in the fact that they stand there and look at each other and don't do anything?
Well, more interested in the fact that they're going to be in this movie and they were in Days of Future Past, but they were different because that's owned by Fox. So they're sort of like in this strange position of being simultaneously in two different movie continuities.
Yeah, I did see, I saw like a VFX breakdown of a Quicksilver scene from Days of Future Past not too long ago. I didn't know they were both in it, but I knew, Quicksilver was a different dude.
Yeah, Quicksilver was a different dude. And it's not just a different dude, because in the X-Men universe, they're mutants, and in the Marvel, I guess you want to call it like the Avengers movie universe. I don't know what to call it. The Iron Man movie universe, whatever that is. In that universe, they're not that. They're somehow products of the like Loki scepter or whatever, which they show briefly in the trailer, and was at the end of the Thor 2 movie credits. Spoiler alert. That doesn't really spoil anything for you because they show you this in the trailer. And if you're watching this, you could have watched a 3-minute trailer. So get over yourselves, people.
So they're not only split in the movie timeline, they're split in the comic book timeline as well?
No, they're not splitting the actual comic book timeline. I'm just saying in the movies, they've split them out because two different studios are making properties based on these characters, but in the comic books, they're one set of characters that have been revised and retconned like 40,000 times or something. But still, there aren't like duplicates of them, except for when there are duplicates of them and there's multiple universes. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is, it's confusing.
Yeah. Well, the one in Days of Future Past, he wears some sunglasses and some headphones. And,
I thought they were like kinda more like goggles.
Yeah, he kind of looks like a jackass from the 90s who listened to a lot of rap rock.
I was going
to
say one of those like BK Kids menu toy things. Remember those?
I didn't really eat at Burger King all that much, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to have your bacon cheeseburger somewhere.
If you're going for a fast food bacon cheeseburger, you could do worse than Carl's Jr., that's for sure.
Well, they didn't have Carl's Jr. They had Hardee's.
It's the same thing.
I know, but Hardee's was gross.
It's the same thing.
I know. Carl's Jr.'s gross.
It's better than Burger King.
They're all gross.
Well, yeah, okay. Anyway, we talked about that last episode.
I couldn't drive myself anywhere. I was taken places. I was but a child. I was but a sprout. So
God. So Quicksilver in the Avengers trailer. It's kick ass with bleach blonde hair, so he looks, I mean, he's got a fancier outfit.
Yeah, they could have touched up his roots, but whatever. I think that it's confusing for basically no reason to have them in the movie. They could have probably done whatever it is they're going to do without them. I don't know what they have to do with Ultron, and I don't know.
Yeah, why are they on his side?
That doesn't make any sense. Like, if he's against humanity, why would they help him? But, I'm sorry, it wasn't the end of Thor 2, it was the end of Captain America 2, Winter Soldier. Because I was going to say, again, spoiler alert, if you, for some reason, don't know this and are watching the trailer and this, and but haven't seen, I don't know. Anyway, weird, unique person, skip ahead 30 seconds. It was like some Hydra guy was taking care of them. Hail Hydra. Somehow they feature into this, which I think is what the castle thing was in the trailer. But that doesn't make any sense for Ultron, because what would he have to do with Hydra, and what would Hydra have to do with him, and what would any of this have to do with Thanos, because it all comes back to Thanos.
Maybe Ultron is powered by the, I almost said the Allspark. What the hell's the blue cube?
Oh, but they don't have the blue cube. That went back to Asgard. They just have they only have the scepter thing.
Maybe Thor brought it to the party for more fun games. You know, he brought the hammer as like a party favor for people to try and pick up. Maybe he brought the blue cube too.
Yeah,
how long can you hold a blue cube without burning your hands?
Yeah, try to hold this without getting sucked into another dimension or catching fire. But No.
Catching fire, that's a different movie property.
Oh, right. Yes. It's an Everdeen movie property. But the important takeaway here is that they have their like late night adult beverage commercial at the beginning of the trailer, and then the broken robot comes out and crushes the skull of the other robot, so we kind of get the impression maybe he's not a good robot. And then we get the whole like no strings on me thing, and we get a bunch of action cuts of things, and ScarJo looks worried. Poor ScarJo.
She rides a motorcycle out of an airplane onto the ground.
Yeah, well, you know, I would be worried about that. I don't think I could ride a motorcycle on the ground. I don't think I could sit on a motorcycle without falling over on my leg.
Did I ever tell you, I let my mom sit on my motorcycle one time and she fell over and pinned herself underneath.
That's horrible. Why would you laugh about that?
Because it was kind of funny at the time. I mean, she's not the tallest woman, but she was sitting on it and she fell over and her foot got caught under it. It was just
was
like
she,
a minor little
she
scrape.
Okay? Okay.
She was fine. She just had a minor scrape. She was more freaked out. It's like,
you can't hurt your mother and laugh about it on this podcast.
I didn't hurt her. She was doing it herself. Mm-hmm. I didn't like push her over.
Uh-huh. All right. I don't believe you. I'm calling Adult Protective Services, but the, wait, you have a motorcycle?
I used to. It got stolen about 2 years ago.
Oh.
Back in that that long stretch of 1 year when I lived in San Jose, California, it got stolen.
Do you have a helmet? One of those like big helmets?
You mean like a full face mask helmet? Yeah, I do have a helmet because that was also back when I used to wear contacts, and you can't not have a helmet because my contacts will fly out.
Mm. And did it have one of those like a drop down? Was it black or mirror on the thing?
It was clear because I wanted to see where I was going.
Well, that's not badass, Dan.
It had some like scrapes on it because I accidentally did a front flip and landed on my head one time.
Mm-hmm. F-ing that hurt.
It did. I broke my collarbone.
Ouch.
And wrecked the motorcycle and got it replaced through insurance.
So you've broken your collarbone and you've broken your back.
I didn't break my back. I sprained a muscle.
Okay. You're perpetually in pain because of your back. Is there some part of your body you have not injured grievously?
The broken collarbone was the first time I ever broke a bone.
That's good.
Yeah. I also removed some skin from my heel when I wrecked the motorcycle.
No. Dan.
Yeah. So, this is a pro tip. If you're going to ride a motorcycle, wear shoes with laces. That's all I'm going to say. Because as I did a front flip, my shoes came off.
What kind of shoes were they that they came off?
They were like, I don't know, skate shoes or something, but I didn't like tie them. I just, you know, they were loose or whatever. They didn't have like...
So you like had the Vans on, but the tongues were all hanging out and like the laces were just crammed in?
Not quite like that. The laces were just kind of like tied in knots at the end, so they were real easy to like slip into. But as I flipped, one of them came off and then the bike kind of pushed the foot into the ground.
Dan.
It looks normal now. It just, you know, kind of hurt back then. The fun part was it was like 4 days before NAB, so I ended up walking around the Vegas convention center with my arm in a sling and like a bloody sock and one shoe on. I was talking to camera manufacturers relatively high on some pain medication.
Oh God, Dan.
It was funny.
No, that's just that's. Oh God.
I mean, the stories from my coworkers telling me the things that I don't remember having said are kind of funny.
Listeners, don't do anything Dan does ever.
It's been a very long time since that happened. That was 2007.
Anyway, so you're the reason why Ultron wants to destroy the world, of course. Because
hey, I'm not hurting anybody.
We can't be trusted.
Other than myself.
Yeah, we can't be trusted though. Like he's got a. If he was a robot taking care of everything, he'd have to take care of you. So the best way to not do that is to just get rid of you. That's what Ultron's all up in your biz for. He's going to get rid of you.
I mean, I can't blame him. It is really hard to, like, you know, take a shower and get dressed with only one functioning arm. Especially because it was my right collarbone, so I had to be lefty for, like, 3 months.
Yeah. Well, would you say that sling that you were wearing had sort of a strap?
Yeah, it did. It had a strap.
Would you say that strap was kind of like a string? Were there strings on you?
There was certainly a strappy string on me.
Okay. So there was a string on you. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Although, were strings on you. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I only had one shoe on, so that I removed one string,
mm-hmm.
but so I added another one.
Again, you were inferior to Ultron. Just want to drive that point home.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, even without the strings, I don't think my eyebrows articulate that much.
No. Those are some sweet eyebrows.
And he's got some really, I don't know, are they supposed to be ears, like those antenna-looking things on the side of his head?
Well, I think in the original design, they're kind of like sci-fi-looking, like, fashion pieces. Like, I don't think they serve any functional purpose. But they seem to have turned them into some sort of, I think I saw someone online, I don't remember who it was, make a joke that they were two Bluetooth head earpieces. So
he can more properly communicate with his peons.
Yes, with all of the Ultron bots that look nothing like him, that come out of the water, which doesn't really seem. I don't know if they have like a water warranty or like is there a certain depth that you think that they are guaranteed for?
Well, I mean, it was around a castle, so it was probably a moat, and I don't think moats are generally all that deep. They're just deep enough to house like alligators or something.
Okay, so then, do you think it's water resistant or waterproof?
I think that would be water resistance in that case, because not all of the parts are going to be capable of withstanding the water, because they've got sort of that plastic shell around the metal exoskeleton, and there's certainly going to be some wiring in there. Got to have wiring.
So it's kind of like the iWatch, where it's resistant, but not proof?
Yeah, it's an army of eye watches.
Yeah, yeah. Is do you think there's a special edition? Is the Ultron the special edition?
The Ultron edition?
The Ultron the ultimate Ultron edition?
Well, I mean he is pretty silver kind of aluminium looking, so I'm not sure. I didn't see a gold version.
Oh man, they really
maybe
need
in the third act he comes out gold plated.
He needs a solid gold one. Remember
a solid gold Ultron would actually be a pretty weak enemy because you could just, you know, hit him with pretty much any other metal and dent him.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's just like a gold look where they do like the shell on the outside.
Well, then he's more of a knockoff at that point because the iWatch Ultron edition is solid gold or it's a gold alloy or something.
What if he was solid gold, but he had like a force field so that way nothing would actually hit him, and then that way he could be solid gold without it melting.
You know, I mean, once he has removed those strings, I think he's going to be pretty motivated to keep those strings from ever getting back to him. So a force field would be a great way to keep those strings from reattaching themselves.
I see. Yes. Force field against strings. That's good. That's good. That's very good, Dan.
I mean, because a force field is pure energy and a string is cotton. And I'm pretty sure energy beats cotton. But I'm not sure how scissors
pure energy
against energy. Yeah.
There's information society.
Is it scissors energy string or energy scissors string? I don't remember. Yeah.
But I like the Information Society song. Because it has Spock in it.
I don't know what that is. Information Society.
Dan.
Is that a band? That sounds like a band.
God, Dan, you're the worst person in the universe.
You're the one who didn't know about Mario Twins.
So clearly I'm the worst person in the universe.
Yeah.
Information Society, pure
what
energy.
Song? The song is called Pure Energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even in the top 10 on iTunes.
I was going to send you a link, Dan.
Well, then do it.
Well, I mean, Chrome's like spin. I don't know. It's something.
Why would you use Chrome?
Oh, it's what's on your mind. That's what it is.
Well, that's number four. Or no, it's number one also. All right, here, we're playing.
Yeah, because apparently the Pure Energy is in parentheses, so it's not actually the title.
This is some awful 80s nonsense. Oh, 1988. Wow. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Pure energy. Oh, my God. Really?
Yes.
That's the part you were...
He says pure energy like 50,000 times because they just use the same loop of
it's
Spock.
It's the same... You can't give them credit for just sampling two words from Star Trek.
But it's from Star Trek.
Oh, God. That's the laziest nonsense ever.
It was the 80s.
It was the style at the time?
It was the style at the time. Yes, all the great styles, but we don't even make any sense anymore. We're a degenerate like collection of references to references to references.
Well, that's why it's subtle motivation to convince people to listen to all of our other episodes all of the other episodes that we reference and don't actually link to,
so that they can do a difference on that and see like, okay, well, this is the part where they're actually clever. Like if I remove all of the parts where they're derivative, like that. This tiny little this thread.
Yeah, I mean, looping back, you make the audience do a little bit of work. They appreciate the thing that comes out. It's like pistachios.
Mm-hmm.
You work to get that shell off, and then you enjoy the hell out of that little tiny green nugget of whatever that you get out of there.
Yeah, nuts.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
You excited to see Ultron?
I'll see it. I don't know if excited is the right word. I'm kind of concerned about the number of times that they've threatened the Earth. And the number of times they will continue to threaten the Earth?
Well, they're not threatening the Earth, it's just humanity.
Well, it frequently seems to be the Earth is included in the Venn diagram of things that are threatened. Usually, like, I guess the galaxy sometimes, but that kind of includes the Earth. So I would just say, like, constantly having the Earth in peril is probably not... viable for another 10 years, 15 years?
Well, maybe they'll throw Ultron through a wormhole or a whatever hole that the blue cube creates, and he'll have to he'll go fight Star-Lord because Star-Lord's a human and he doesn't like humans.
No, well, see, here's the thing. I know they're gonna have Thanos in this movie. I know he's gonna be somewhere in this movie. They're gonna have him like in the end credits, or they're gonna have him.
Do we know
in
that
the middle?
For sure?
No, we don't know it for sure, but I'm deducing it because he was in the first Avengers, and he was in Guardians of the Galaxy because he's going to play a big part, you know, in the rest of this, because it's like right, all about the Infinity Gauntlet stuff going.
Isn't it
going
to get a little old if he has like a 5-second cameo in every single movie?
Yeah, well, that was kind of my argument in Guardians of the Galaxy when we did that episode.
Right, so it'll be even more annoying if he's got a brief cameo in this one.
Yeah, it's just like he's there to set up the part where he's going to be there for a long time. And I know you don't watch Doctor Who, but they've had this character this season that's been recurring in all of the episodes named Missy. And she's been driving me absolutely bananas. She doesn't do anything, much like Thanos. She's just there to be threatening, because eventually she'll show up and do something.
Sounds like my old corporate job.
Okay. I don't really appreciate that. Like, I wish that they wouldn't sort of like waste our time with the overarching narrative if it's not actually going to be related to the movie itself, which is a continuing criticism I have of the Marvel universe. It's not so much a concern with the DC universe, because there is no real DC universe. They've announced a bunch of stuff, but I'm just waiting for that to fall apart again, because they announced a bunch of stuff before and then they did Green Lantern and kaboom.
Didn't I see Green Lanterns coming back in like 5 years or something?
Yeah. It's not going to be the same one, because God knows that didn't work. They're going to do something else and pretend the other thing didn't happen.
Okay, just like Hulk.
Yeah.
What is it with green superheroes? They just don't work out very well.
Oh, it's the color. It's hard to pull a key. That was a dumb joke. Especially hard to pull a key when he's all CG and green, and then you pull a key on him. Man, that would be weird and pointless.
Can we just go back to modeling and get them to like actually render us a mat?
Soft mat.
Soft mat, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the soften effect. Just take the edge off every now and then.
Yeah, I like to defocus it to...
No, defocus is often too much. Soften. Yeah. Soften is a nice little touch.
Mm-hmm. Feather? You like to feather your mats?
My soft feathered mats.
Oh, God.
My goose down feathered.
What is this show? What is this show? What is this show?
maybe if Thanos shows up in Ultron, we'll at least get some actual hint of his capabilities as the most powerful threatening person in the universe, rather than his ability to just make a chair float.
Well, I'm sure it'll amount to having known nothing about spoilers or anything, so no one yell at me for this, because I'm not really going to read anything on those, like, Ain't It Cool News, whatever, Ain't It Cool News can go to hell, and all that other garbage slash film, whatever. I don't care about on the set reports, or like, maybe this will be in the script, or so-and-so says this thing will be happening, and like, none of that it does anything for me. So don't give me those corrections, but my feeling is that since they feature the scepter in the trailer, and it was a plot point in Avengers, and he got it from Thanos, that somehow Thanos will be talking to Ultron through, or influencing Ultron through the scepter, which will somehow power something, and then that will be the driving force for Thanos' influence in the movie, and this will circle back to either Thanos showing up or talking. And if Thanos shows up, he might show up and destroy something in order to show that he is super strong, but then leave. Because they have to have all the other intervening movies, so he won't like show up and then like stick around for anything. So I very much doubt he'll actually be on Earth in the movie.
But how is that useful? Isn't his entire existence in the universe at this point just to collect all the Infinity Stones? Like, why would he even bother? Unless he just shows up to like... All right, Ultron, thank you for that scepter. I'll catch you later after I've got all the other ones, and then I destroy you along with everyone else in the universe, theoretically.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he might not even show up. Like, I don't think the scepter is an Infinity Stone.
I thought it was. I thought that was the point. That was why it was important.
Why would he give him an Infinity Stone to go get an Infinity Stone?
Give one, get one. One goes one way, one goes the other way. I don't know. It's a trade.
Two stones with one stone?
Yeah, you kill one robot with two stones.
Yeah, yeah. Two stones in the bush is good as the... I don't know. All the old sayings, but the...
all the old sayings.
God, this... It's infected my brain. The other day I was in a restaurant and somebody was...
Cream it infected your brain.
Yeah. Well, the other day I was in a restaurant waiting for my to-go order of empanadas, delicious, healthy fried empanadas. And there was an older woman over at a table talking to a friend of hers about apparently covered barns back in the East. So of all the things, and she was lamenting that it was all of the old barns. The way she said it, like, was in that inflection. And then, so in my head, I'm just thinking of Roderick saying all of the old barns, and I'm just like, oh my god, what is happening to me? My brain is melting.
Suddenly, you're the crazy guy standing by yourself, laughing in a restaurant.
Yeah, I was like, this is inappropriate. Like, this doesn't make any sense. This literally makes no sense. Me recounting this story makes no sense. What I've said on this podcast up until this point makes no sense. So Ultron should just kill us all. With string. He'll just garrote us with the strings.
I mean, maybe he really just wants a barn to call his own.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, I think barn. He should probably, you know, head up to Amish country, because I see Vanilla Ice building barns every now and then. So, I mean, there's got to be at least a couple that he can go hang out in.
Well, I think it's safe to say that the next Avengers movie is going to be a real barn burner.
No, I don't think it's safe to say that at all.
You think it's unsafe to say that?
I think it's unsafe to call something a barn burner. You can't yell barn burner in a movie theater.
Well, you're supposed to. No, never mind. So buttons.
This is going on for an unbelievably long time.
I think we have tapped out this trailer, and we hit an hour and 15 minutes. I'm sure once we trim that down to an hour, it'll still be too much. So that sounds like plenty for a trailer.
Yeah, it is a bit of a bummer that Captain America's shield gets broken in half, at least that we see in this trailer.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be vibranium, which is supposed to be unbreakable. Just supposed to vibrate. Yeah, although,
according to Wikipedia, isn't Ultron supposed to be made out of adamantium?
Yeah, but I was never really clear on the Rochambeau of the adamantium versus vibranium stuff. Like, I didn't think that... Like, Wolverine has adamantium claws, and I think he's fought Captain America a couple times, and I don't think his claws go through the shield. So I don't really know how it all works. I don't know the hierarchical metallurgy of Marvel movies.
Yeah, maybe it's just the scepter, the blue square goes through it.
Mm. Maybe it's just one of those shots that's in a trailer.
Maybe.
I love those shots. God, give me more of those. Just random shots that are in trailers that mean nothing.
Well, they all mean something. It's all a matter of symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
Because the shield is a symbol for
America,
freedom, safety. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What would a shield be a symbol of?
Team America. Yeah, we should do Team America.
Smurf. Yeah.
Smurf, yeah. You betcha.
Do I have to bleep it when I say it too, or just when you say it?
I don't know. Whatever you think is funnier. What do you think, Dan? Have I given you enough work? I mean, I know I'm not going to be around, so I hope this is plenty of work for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I know you're not going to be around, but I hope you feel better soon, so we can do this again. Everyone still send Joe get well soon tweets and cards.
I'm not going to be sick. Why am I going to be sick?
I don't know where you're going.
Okay, well, can I reassure them that I'm fine?
You can try.
I'm going to be okay. More editing work. I'm going to my sister's wedding in Tampa. Follow along for all of the tweets, which will surely be boring and dull. So
a lot of pictures of it'll be like my Tumblr. It'll be pictures of people's stupid custom license plates with like a LOL next to it, and then probably just like a broken down car and somebody's in lawn, right?
And Target,
right?
Can't forget your photos of products in Target.
Yeah, I do. I do have kind of a sore spot for the terrible art that you can buy in Target.
I think you meant a soft spot.
No, sore spot.
Sore spot?
Well, I mean, I guess if you poke a soft spot long enough, it becomes a sore spot.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I shouldn't have a kid, I suppose.
Target pokes you in just the right spot?
No, just the
Target
wrong
really
spot,
hits the target?
Really. Target? Maybe it's good that you're going to be gone for a little while.
I know. I give you a break from me.
Thank goodness we don't have like 15 other different ways to communicate in the meantime.
God, I'm just going to flood Slack with, I don't know, pictures of kittens or strings. Kittens and strings. Kittens with balls of strings. And I'm going to like put a meme generator thing on the bottom of it and just going to say, this kitten has strings on him. I'll just send it to you. This is not an Ultron kitten.
So we're going to pivot our brand from burritos to just things with string.
Yeah, why not? Sounds just as lucrative.
I want somebody to go find a somebody needs to go find a burrito, take a piece of string and or twine and tie a nice belt, nice tight belt around the center of that burrito.
Oh, well, they should do one of those things where they truss it up like a Christmas ham. That'd be great.
Make it look like one of those you know, those things you get around Christmas time that's like wrapping paper tied on both ends that you pull and it kind of pops and shoots like confetti out.
Oh yeah. I never got those. My family didn't do that.
Well, but thing. Rather than rolling,
what you're talking about.
Rather than rolling your burrito the conventional way, leave both ends open and tie string around the tortilla.
So then put it in with all of the other little popper things, and then somebody's going to open that up and get a burrito all over them. So
you pull the ends of your burrito, and it explodes with beans and rice and meat all over.
Oh,
you.
That's disgusting.
I mean, I'd still eat it. I mean, as long as it didn't land on the floor or anything.
What if it landed on a person?
Am I the person?
What if it was Amanda?
Are you asking me if I would eat beans and rice off of my girlfriend?
What if it landed on your dog?
No. He doesn't bathe nearly as often as I do.
God, what is this show?
It's Bonanza!
No, this isn't
Bonanza!
Be cake and bunnies. This is string and cats and burritos.
Oh boy.
Detonate this show from orbit.
Pretty sure we've lost any chance of all sponsorship.
There was a chance of sponsorship.
I mean, you know, according to that article,
CPMs. That yes, we'll get our. We'll just string on some more CPMs.
Oh, no more cats per million. Or mango, or whatever that was.
Yes, cats per mango. Oh, God.
Our cats per mango are officially occupied with
string.
Balls of string.
God, we're so dumb. Pure energy. Pure energy. So, Dan.
Yes.
Like, totally naturally cutting this into the episode.
We totally didn't just stop and start.
No, totally didn't do that. And this might not be in the beginning or the end or the middle or wherever it goes. This is totally just happening when it happened, right off the cuff.
Just let it happen.
Yeah. Just shooting straight here with you. The news I was reading was that Avengers 2, Age of Ultron, has a rather lucrative tax credit behind it for filming in the UK, which is £31 million. From Her Majesty's Revenue Service.
Good Lord. What is that in dollars? That's like $60 million, isn't it?
I believe so. That is probably the budget of most of the production of the movie. Probably not the visual effects, but basically this thing is paid for by UK taxpayers for a movie starring a man named Captain America.
you say 31?
Yeah, £31 million.
That's 49.57 million US dollars.
That's a lot of million US dollars.
That's, my God, 50 million. Yeah, that's definitely enough for a movie by itself.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. And think about, how many Rocky Horror Picture Shows is that? And Rocky Horror Picture Show was like 1.8 million. That's a lot of Rocky Horrors. You could have a lot of Tim Curry for this. That's all I'm saying.
Do we know what the total budget of Ultron's going to be?
No, because they haven't made it yet.
There was also an article I saw about James Cameron talking about the massive budget of the... Because they're shooting all three Avatar sequels at the same time.
Yeah,
He kind of laughed it off, saying, you know, we're getting all kinds of economies of scale because we're shooting three at a time. Like, yeah, well, it's still going to be $600 million or some crap.
Well, fortunately, the taxpayers of New Zealand are paying for that one.
Yeah. Well, fortunately.
Yeah.
So, $50 million in tax credits.
Yeah.
Where are they shooting this? Or where did they shoot it, I guess, would be how they got the tax credits.
Yeah, well, I mean, all you got to do is say, "Hey, I'll film in the UK for our America-centric movie," and you'll just give us tons of money. Well, they got £16 million for what was it, Thor 2, The Dark World, for filming in the UK,
but not the whole thing, right? Or did they just?
They filmed the whole thing out there, I think. And they had some American accented actors for things. I mean, obviously, Natalie Portman and Kat Dennings were imported. And what's his face is Australian, so he doesn't really count. But he's a Commonwealth citizen. So Helmsworth? Whatever he's worth.
I watched that Formula One movie with him in it last night, Rush. Hmm. Okay. Mostly because I used to work with a fella who worked on Niki Lauda's F1 team back in the 70s.
Did you get a rush out of it?
No. It was a not great movie.
I would have assumed so, since I never heard anything after it was marketed. So, that happens. Poor guy. Didn't that happen to Emil What's-His-Face? He was in Speed Racer and Milk and then never anything again? Yes. Emil Hirsch. Remember him?
Yeah. What did what happen to him?
He just disappeared.
He was in a thing I saw recently. Oh, he was he in Monuments Men? No. What was he in? I just saw him in something recently.
Okay. Well, can you go on IMDb? If I type it into IMDb, it's just going to take a long time. I'm too busy looking at this picture of ScarJo like grabbing the floor for some reason.
Well, she's got to make sure it stays floored.
Yeah, like she's got 1 foot to the side. Then 1 foot, she's like kneeling and like touching the floor with, and then she's got a hand down, and then she's got a hand behind her. I assume for balance, because maybe her knee is unstable.
Oh god, it was. I caught 10 minutes of Lone Survivor, the war movie with Marky Mark and that Ben kid from those other movies, Ben Foster. May I say that Lone Survivor is not a movie you should go watch?
Okay, that's fine.
I don't know. It's very loud.
What's very loud?
The hell is that?
It's the trailer we talked about for an hour. I don't know what the ballet scene's about now that I watch this again. And then the like archery with explosion behind, slow-mo archery.
Yeah, the
there's cars.
Turn that off. Jesus. You know, I did download it and kind of go through it a little bit. The ballet thing. Somebody's playing a piano. Presumably, that's one of our characters.
There are no strings on me.
Dan, I don't think there are any strings on him.
Yeah, that's it's what's his name doing the voice too. It's Oh, hell. That one guy from that thing from the 80s.
Michael Ironside?
No.
Oh, I really liked it if it was Michael Ironside.
Oh, God. Who is it? Oh, James Spader.
What?
James Spader is Ultron.
That really does not sound like him. I think they auto-tuned him.
A little bit. He's being ominous.
He's ominously auto-tuned. He's
ominous Spader.
Oh, my God. Can you omnitune me when I say Bonanza at the beginning?
Oh, we didn't even mention the fact that Andy Serkis is in this movie.
Oh, he is? Does he play Ultron?
No, Andy Serkis is in it as a human being, not a character.
Oh, that poor guy. What is he doing exactly?
Well, I don't know. There's literally one shot of him in the trailer. He's got kind of a weird kind of neck beard thing going on, and it's a close-up of his face.
Oh. Maybe he's the plucky comic relief.
Well, apparently he was on the set to offer performance capture advice to Ruffalo because he has a bigger role as Hulk in this one. And Mr. Wheaton, was it Josh Wheaton, asked him to actually play a role in the movie.
God, Dan.
That's a Merlin joke.
Will you stop that?
Will?
Will Wheaton.
No. It's Josh.
Yes.
You know, but apparently he found a role for him, so
mm-hmm.
we don't know who Andy Serkis is going to play. Apparently it's a big secret.
The secret?
The secret?
The secret?
Pop secret.
Your secret. Is this the end?
It's the end of times. It's the end of the road that
it's the end of the string.
It's the end of the road that Tony Stark set us on.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was Civil War.
Thor throws him into a wall.
Oh.
He says that in the trailer.
He does?
It's the end of the road that I started us on.
Maybe I should play this again.
No. Please don't. apparently Lou Ferrigno's in the movie too as the voice of Hulk.
Why?
Which doesn't make any sense. Maybe you think they're doing the plotline thing where Ruffalo, like Bruce Banner, separates from the Hulk and becomes two things? That was a thing, right?
Yeah, sure. Why not just add 50 more plot elements to this? It doesn't have enough. See, I think that's one of those things where Joss Whedon got a lot of credit in the first Avengers for taking so many things and synthesizing it into a movie. But I don't think that enough people said maybe it didn't need to be so many things that went into that. Because I think that there's more of that in this one. Because, you know, like I said earlier, we have Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch and Ultron. And presumably Thanos will be involved in some capacity. And we have all of our heroes.
All of the heroes.
All of the great heroes.
Oh, good. We've got on the all-cast list, we have Stan Lee, for sure, of course.
Well, he's got to be in it.
War Machine's in it, evidently.
Well, yeah, he's in the trailer.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, remember he helps Tony pick up the...
Right. He's not in the rest of the movie, though, according to the trailer. Oh, good. We have someone labeled as just Asgardian, so maybe we get to go to Asgard.
Oh, that's always fun. No more glowy matte paintings and diffusion.
We have a gentleman whose character name is Asgardian God.
Those are good guys. I like them.
Oh, my favorite character from all of the comics, British Officer.
Hmm. Dan?
I don't want to spoil this for you, but it appears that Child One is in this movie.
Oh, God. Him? Again?
Yeah.
He's in so much stuff. I mean, Child One is in a lot of stuff right now. Let's just be honest.
Yeah. He's pretty popular these days. It's kind of hard to keep him out.
Yeah. I mean, poor Child Two. That's all I got to say. I feel bad for him in a way, but maybe if they had a more, if they had a wider ensemble cast, then they could have him in.
Did you say whiter?
Ensemble cast.
Whiter or wider?
Wider.
Sounded like
this is not a commentary whiter on Child One and Child Two's.
It's not about race. Oh, it's God. Not about bananas either.
Burning this podcast to the ground. I hate this podcast.
There are a lot of people credited as Sokovian. Sokovian. I don't know what that is, but there's like five of them.
Ah, it's probably aliens.
It is Sokovia in the Marvel Cinematic Universe Wiki. Is a place? Let me see what this is.
Is it one
a city in Eastern Europe?
Oh, it's one of those fake Eastern Europe countries from behind the Iron Curtain or something.
Marvel Wiki, it's listed as being from the movie Avengers Age of Ultron, so apparently it's entirely fictional.
Yeah. Well, it was one of those things with Marvel is like Latveria and all that other stuff. They just like, they're sort of like DC where they make up like American cities, except in the Marvel universe, they always make up foreign cities. So it's always like some weird like something something Stan and like you know, whatever Varia and stuff, so they're it's very strange. I don't understand
something something Stan and whatever Varia.
Yeah.
There's a character, see, I wish we knew more about the Marvel universe. There's a character named Baron Wolfgang von Strucker. Maybe he owns the castle. It seems about right for him.
Oh, he sounds familiar. I think he's actually the guy that they had talking in the end of the Captain America 2 credit thing.
Well, okay, let's check the Marvel comic book database. Oh, there's a picture of a man with a like an eagle talon claw and one eyeball.
That's good. We only need one, really.
He is a former Nazi officer, was one of the leaders of Hydra, and an enemy of S.H.I.E.L.D. So there you go.
Yeah, it's a trifecta. The Triskelion trifecta.
That, what?
You didn't see Captain America 2. Winter Soldier.
No, not yet.
You should see it. I think you would not hate it. I think you would hate Thor 2, because I hate Thor 2.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hate Thor 2, but it was nothing to write home about.
Nothing
to send a carrier pigeon to Asgard
about. It is the worst opening scene to any of the Disney Marvel movies ever.
I don't remember the opening scene. I may have missed it.
It was an explosion of exposition. It is a giant exposition bomb of Anthony Hopkins just talking about how history was and setting up every principle about why the Dark Elves work the way they do, which is kind of pointless because later on they reset up all of those principles in the movie. I guess they just felt it wasn't clear, so they had him do this, and it doesn't make any sense, and I hate it. And it just feels like you're thrown into complete nonsense when you start watching the film.
Flames on the side of your face.
Heaving breasts. I hate the opening of Thor 2. It has really pretty art design stuff for the ships and things, but I never really pictured a movie about Asgardian gods as being about spaceships, so I don't know really how that fits into anything. Good job, somebody.
I mean, at least they're getting $50 million worth of free money in this one. Maybe that's how they can afford to have all of these extra plots. You know, for every additional $10 million that we give to them, they will add another character that links to another movie.
They need less money.
they call that a stretch goal.
God. Well, it basically is like Kickstarter in a way.
Except it's not voluntary and they take it out of your taxes.
Yeah, and you don't get anything from it, really. You get to pay for it when it comes out.
Well, in that way, it's just like Kickstarter.
Yeah, it's just like Kickstarter. You give them pounds and pounds of British sterling, and then out of it,
free non-consensual sterling.
Yeah, you get a movie about Americans.
Well,
joke's on you, Great Britain.
are there any British Avengers?
Well, there's Captain Britain. he's a weird one. Go look him up.
I'm pretty sure I've seen him.
He travels through portals and space-time and stuff and things. He's an odd duck, that guy. He's not really like Captain America. Which is also part of the reason I think he is a less popular character.
I didn't realize Whedon has the entire writing credit for this movie.
Well, he had the entire writing credit, I think, for Avengers, didn't he?
Probably. I thought he at least had one collaborator on the first Avengers.
Let's take
a gander.
I mean, he does collaborate with people, because I know that Kevin Feige. Yeah, he weighs in on everything, which is, you know, of course, why Edgar Wright left Ant-Man, because he couldn't cope.
The first Avengers has Whedon for screenplay and story, and an additional story credit for Zach Penn.
That guy.
Who I am unfamiliar with.
I've seen his name.
He apparently wrote... He's writing Pacific Rim 2.
Oh, God. Does that even need writing? Just, like, have some previs and then just, like, blurt out some stuff. That's what it's going to be.
Apparently, he wrote a short story or a short film called Avengers Assemble in the Playroom. I wish I could make a joke about that, but I got nothing. He wrote The Incredible Hulk, X-Men Last Stand, X-Men The Official Game, Fantastic Four The Video Game, Elektra. He wrote Elektra. That's really all we need to know. Inspector Gadget. Oh, he wrote PCU of all of the things to be mixed into this? Last Action Hero to PCU to Inspector Gadget and then Behind Enemy Lines?
Paycheck's a paycheck.
But, like, that doesn't fit with any of his other nonsensical action movies.
Paycheck's a paycheck.
I watched PCU the other day, too, on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Gutter is a tool.
Mm.
We're not going to protest.
Mm. I haven't seen it in a really long time. I just remember the electronic funkatronic what was it? Orchestra?
George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelic.
That's the one.
Which is a real band,
I know. I know that they're a real band. I just couldn't remember.
Do you? I knew it.
I don't. I'm not an avid listener. Let's just say of George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelic.
I thought you meant of things in general.
Well, I'm not an avid listener of anything. I mean, I just write screeds back to all of the people that I listen to, scathing critiques of their music. Muse is just got like a pile of things that they're sitting on right now.
This is interesting follow-up. Are you going to go back to writing screenplays for Bonanza? Well, no, I mean, you only have to write, you know, like 1/4 of what you did before, since they're only monthly now.
But I didn't actually write any of this episode.
Shh. Okay. You've got to maintain the illusion.
I think Dan had too much bourbon.
No, I only had the one. Okay. I didn't bring the bottle in.
Oh, good. You didn't do a thing. So I think we're really for sure done this time.
Yeah, according to Skype, we're up to 1:42. There's no way we can release 1 hour and 42 minutes of this.
No, I think...
Or can we?
No, please don't.